Just one small detail on something that you touched on is tracking, which is extremely important. Like you mentioned, online tracking is fairly simple. I mean, there's software and services that do the tracking for you using the links that people are clicking on. What happens? How in the world do you track a flyer if you're doing flyers and you've got flyers going out, you've got ads going out? When you're offline, how do you end up tracking in that respect?
Well, that's a great question. If you kind of back into it and look at it from the reverse, you know, is what I kind of like to say. At the end of the day, that flyer is to do something, is to get somebody to you know, act on a call to action or on your low-risk offer, if you will. So if you put your marketing equation as the foundation for your flyer, then you have your headline to interrupt them. You've got your sub-headlines and your bullet points that engage them. You've got your educate that tells them why they should take you up on your low-risk offer. And your offer compels them to, you know, there's only one of a handful of ways that they can begin a relationship. Either they come to see you personally, they call you on the phone, they email you, they visit a website, or they instant message you nowadays. So other than that, there's really, I mean, again, we can't holographically or, you know, teleport into somebody's business yet, you know.
Not yet.
I'm hopeful. you know, I like to say, with all the cool technologies that are out there, we're that generation, like, right before, you know, the Jetsons. We're the ones that get to screw it all up. You know, we don't have all the practices in place. We don't have all the technologies in place. You know, we can screw things up and, like, you know, blast people off, send them out to the moon and, like, blow up the rocket ship and say, oops, we forgot to change the rubber band O-ring. And it's okay, but if we're the Jetsons and we blast somebody off and, you know, blow up the rocket ship, there's some major problems.
Yeah.
The good news is, with this burst of technology, Terry, I don't care what you're selling, you can use the internet in order to help you efficiently communicate. And when did I start this whole conversation around saying marketing is nothing more than a fancy word for communications? So if you, most businesses offline tend to look at the web as just an additional way to market or advertise their business, when in actuality, it should be the hub or the nucleus where all of their advertising points people to. So at the end of the day, I would think of it like a wagon wheel, where the middle of it is your web presence. And your web presence, whether you are a, you know, local dry cleaner or you are an online e-commerce Amazon.com type of shop, your web presence, because the web is so prolific, it is something that, you know, from baby boomers to kids, it, you know, no matter where you are on the planet, you're able to get online nowadays. We're not in 2000 or 1999. We're not going backwards. It's 2006. We're going forward. So, you know, realizing and understanding the major impact that the web plays on business as a small business person is crucial. So, you know, I quickly diffuse comments that I hear from prospects and clients of mine that talk about the web really doesn't play a big factor in their business. And, you know, I've got folks that are plastic surgeons to boring accountants that are sitting around doing nothing but number crunching. And the reality of it is the web interface gives you the ability to manage, track, and deliver all kind of resources and information to prospects and customers at their convenience and at their leisure. And let's face it, you know, consumers, the buyers, they're the ones in charge now. They, because of the internet, they can go out and Google a gazillion different options, and they can research what you have to offer and research you and your company and find out everything they need to know before they even decide to pick up the phone. And you don't if you don't have your system set up appropriately, you wouldn't have any idea that folks are inquiring about what you have to offer or are interested in what you have to offer. So understand that the web is not this extra little marketing vehicle that you may or may not want to use dependent upon what type of business that you're in, that now the web is as crucial as, hell, an address or a phone number. So if you don't even have a P.O. box or an address or a phone number, don't expect to put many deposits in your bank account as a business owner. If you don't have if you're not using the web as the hub for your marketing, you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball in a lot of aspects. So with that understanding in place, you pass out your marketing equation-oriented flyer that has a low-risk offer for a complimentary resource or a free resource or a downloadable report or a buy or a free massage if you come into the parlor. But in order to get it, you either call the number or you visit online. If you call the number, there's either a code, a promo code, or if you visit online, there's a special URL. So if they call the 800 number or they call your telephone number and they get your receptionist, and the receptionist has her marketing-related script that interrupts, engages, educates, and follows up on the offer, and says, oh, what's the promo code? She basically keys in the information for that lead on the same web page that that prospect would have done if they would have gone to the website themselves that's listed on the flyer. So literally everything goes through the web as a communications tool, because now that you can set up technologies to have folks inserted into a database, you can communicate with them much more efficiently and effectively. You know, so many people have email addresses, so you can cut the cost of follow-up communications. So it's just good business sense. It's not even a good argument to say the web won't play a role in impacting or enhancing my business. And if you're that kind of person, then you've got a hobby, you don't have a business.
So you're not one of the Jetsons.
Right. Exactly. You're the Flintstone.
You're a Flintstone.
Right.
That's a good marketing aspect. Are you a Flintstone or a Jetson?
There you go.
Something else, Mark, that goes along with creating ads and marketing, and it's actually one of the points that I found was fascinating in your course, is you talk about platitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you review what a platitude is and why it's important that you don't get stuck using them?
Platitude is a funny word, actually. When I first heard the word, I thought it was an animal or something.
That's a platypus.
Yeah, exactly. but basically, a platitude is a statement that a person or a company makes that is basically, it has no teeth. Nobody, they hear it, they don't believe it. It's so commonplace that it literally rolls off of a person's back, it throws off their mindset like water rolls off of a duck's back. It doesn't stick. A platitude is like been in business since 1492, or 35 years experience, or we take care of our customers, or we value your. I mean, all these things. Everybody throws these terms around, and the consumer, the prospect, the buyer, the reader, the listener, they don't believe it. They don't know what it means. So to destroy a platitude, you have to give it some specificity. The more specific you are, the more detailed you are, and the more oriented towards what does this mean to the customer you are, it will destroy your platitude. So instead of saying been in business since 1492, that is irrelevant to a consumer or a prospect. Instead, what does your 500-600 years of being in business mean to me, the new buyer in 2006 specifically? Because if you can express and articulate to me why 600 years of experience is something that I need to take into consideration, then I'll take you up on your offer. So if you interrupt me and you engage me and you get my attention focused on your message, and then you educate me not with a platitude, or not with something that everybody says because you're trying to, cut real estate or save space because you don't have enough room on your ad or in the 30-second commercial that you're putting out, then you need to make an offer where your follow-up pieces, your additional materials, your educational pieces have the details, the specificity that you need to extend in order to make sure that they can really grasp why you're different, better, and more unique without them relating to platitudes.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Something else that you included in the course that I found was quite fascinating is something about a master letter.
Yep.
why sh- should I spend a lot of time concentrating on a master letter? And what is a master letter?
Great question. A master letter is, think of it as your archive for the best sales presentation that you could make by, you know, to any prospect or any customer. It has objections that have been overcome explained in it. It has details about all of the things that you bring to the marketplace that make you better, different, more unique than everybody else. It has it's chock full of headlines. It has you know, different offers that are that you have that you would extend to folks. So it's literally your master document for marketing communications. When it's all said and done, you should compose a master letter, and there's no length to how long your master letter can be. It can be, you know, a couple of pages to, you know, 20 pages. It's really just a comprehensive document that details, illustrates, depicts, explains all the reasons why somebody should do business with you. And if somebody took the time to read through the letter, they'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt why they ought to do business with you as well. But the value of developing this kind of a document, this kind of a tool, is that, A, it forces you to do what needs to be done, which is craft a bunch of headlines. You've got to make, you know, crap loads of headlines. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of headlines, because you don't know what's going to work in different vehicles or in different mediums. So you've got to have a lot to pull from, and it just makes no sense whatsoever always going back to the drawing board to come up with a new headline when you want to send out a new email, for example. Why not have a headline bank of already organized, powerfully stated headlines that you can just go pull from as soon as you're ready to make a different offer or extend a different message to somebody? The master letter is basically the same kind of premise or concept. It's a comprehensive document of all of the educate that you want people to know about your business. And in some cases, and especially in the online marketing, these master letters, you've seen them. I mean, if you've been online, you've seen master letters in the form of online sales letters. And these master letters really give a very solid, comprehensive overview of everything that is being available, being offered, all of the value, all of the uniquenesses, all of the bonuses and joint ventures, and very, very specific offer for somebody to take advantage of. It basically is selling a person without having to take the time to speak with them, so that at their leisure, even if that, you know, is one of those sales, online sales letters that scroll and 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 scroll, a person can go through that at their own leisure. They can print it out. They can, you know, read it on Sunday. They can log in next week. And when they've gotten through it, they make the decision to take you up on your offer. And, you know, again, we talked about the different offers, but, you know, bottom line is you want to be able to lead them through your message. And a lot of that comes with effective copywriting and effective articulation of why you're different, better, and more unique than the rest of the folks. So the master letter is really just instilling the importance into any business owner, the importance of drafting this master document that, once it's done, if you need a short email, if you need a, you know, some information for a newsletter, if you need an ad in a newspaper, you can go right to your master letter and you can start from there. So you're already 50-60% ahead of the game when it comes to writing what you're supposed to put in that tactical piece. So again, go back to the beginning of this conversation. I said most business owners jump out of the plane initially and do tactical marketing right off the bat. They go out and get a newspaper ad. Well, if you had a master letter that had some headlines in it and had some educate and had some offers that have been spelled out, when it comes to writing an ad for a newspaper or anything, there it is. It's been done for you, pretty much. So that's the value of really understanding how to take the materials that you develop, organize them into one master document, and then use that, dissect that as you see fit. Heck, it can turn around and be, you know, 70-80% of your website.
So when you're doing that, you're sitting down and creating a master letter, that's going to include the headlines. I would say headlines are one of the most important aspects in any type of your marketing or the advertising side of things. How would you go about creating good headlines that are going to stop people like a blue stop sign?
That's a great question, and there's lots of practices for doing so. I mean, the bottom line is you can never have enough headlines. Headlines come from all over the place. You can be reading or looking at somebody else's ad. It's altogether different in a completely different industry and see something that gets your attention because it's something you're interested in, and there's key words or key aspects or key hot button words in that headline that you can apply to your business, and you can add that headline to your headline bank. But one of the things that I would definitely say is necessary is that you develop the practice of creating a headline bank, a repository of headlines, that when you hear a good headline or you see a good headline or when you think of a good headline, that you archive it in this headline bank. And one of the best places to get headlines is from your customers or from your prospects. You can, when you do that interview process that we talked about in the beginning, you will turn around and you will hear some doozies for some headlines. And that's one of the places where I get a lot of headlines from my clients sitting down talking to their customers. And it's beautiful because they do all the articulation work for me, because it's a prospect or a customer speaking about the product or the service in their language, so all I have to do is wordsmith it to make a statement more powerful or more engaging or more hypnotic. Other ways to improve or write headlines, or there are software applications out there that are available that, you know, have a, you know, hundreds of the most, you know, the top working headlines from, you know, the last 100 years built into the database, so that you can just key in some, you know, fields about your product or the details of your service, and then it'll spit out 100 headlines that you have to, of course, go in and clean up. Matter of fact, one of those software applications is included free, the MYM On Demand program, and when you get to session 4, which is a session strictly on how to write headlines, we give you the opportunity to download that software, you know, as part of the program, so that you have that as a resource to build your headlines. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it is a great start. It helps you get off first base, and it helps automate the process so you're not looking at a blank sheet of paper all day long. But the reality of it is you just got to open your ears, you got to open your eyes, and you have to stop thinking in a one-dimensional plane. So when you hear something that's great, or you see a blue stop sign yourself in some other aspect, to follow the analogy, that you look at how you can take that blue stop sign and put it into your business or in your messaging so that it can do the same thing, but maybe from a different angle with your target market or with your prospects.
Yeah, when we're talking about headlines, can you give me some examples of some of the good headlines or the better headlines that you've created for some of your clients?
One thing about a headline, people say, well, you know, is that headline too long? Is that headline too short? The reality of it is a headline is as long or as short as it needs to be to trigger the reticular activator and get somebody to pay attention to the message that's about to follow, so that they want to continue to read or to listen to the message. And I just did a campaign for a neurosurgeon over here in the States, and that's a brain surgeon who has developed a diabetic all-natural supplement for helping people manage their blood sugar levels without having to have medications or prescription drugs. And diabetes is a real, real big issue, and obesity in America is a big issue right now. So really making sure that folks understand that this message is going to help them from that capacity trigger the reticular activator of folks who either have diabetes or are concerned with diabetes is something that needs to be, you know, very effectively communicated when you are putting pieces or messages together. So one of the headlines that we came up with for an ad piece was "Diabetes, the silent killer that's difficult to detect, prevent, and cure. What can you do about it?" Now, for somebody who is concerned with diabetes, or somebody who just came from their doctor's office and they said, "Hey, you know, you got to get your manage your meal plan or manage what you eat because you're prone to diabetes," that headline, phrased as a question, will entice a person's brain to want to read the next line. Because it's not a yes-no question, because that's one of the things you don't want to do. You don't want to ask a yes-no question in a headline. Because if the answer, if somebody reads that headline and the answer in their mind is no, they stop reading into the conversation.
Right, okay.
So you want to stay away from yes-no questions. Great type of questions in headlines are what questions or which questions. Which are the best ways to, what can you do about da-da-da-da-da. Because that doesn't have an answer. In order to answer that, they have to keep reading your message. Okay?
Okay.
So your effort to try and organize your headlines around different categories is important. So what I just gave you is a category headline in the form of a question. There are other categorical headlines that you can take advantage of. A news-related headline announcing, you know, at last, finally, introducing. These type of headline starters really help with news type of headlines, things that are about to give some information, some news type of information to somebody so that they can be aware of something. How-to headlines. How to, you know, prevent or defeat diabetes in 60 days guaranteed. I mean, these are the types of things that, again, triggering folks' reticular activator to get them to pay attention to your message. How-to is a very, very effective and powerful headline starter that you can use. I think in the course we detail about 18 or 20 different starter categories as well that you can go through and give examples of each of these that you can go through and use to kind of get your mind flowing and your juices rolling when it comes to creating these powerful interrupters to get your message listened to.